Hi, this is Larry Bellotta, and I want to welcome you to this course I call How to Survive Your Wife's Midlife Crisis. You know, it's very likely that you purchased this course because you heard my free teleclass about the Chaos Kid phenomena. If you tuned into my explanation there, it's because you are a husband who has already been experiencing what I've been describing about this Chaos Kid phenomena. In other words, your wife is a Chaos Kid. I didn't take time to tell you a little bit about myself on the telecourse because I had so much to cover, but let me just say that I endured 27 years of a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife, and those 27 years were hell because Marcia was forcing me to wake up and see the things I didn't want to see. Now, what made it such hell is that she used force in all shapes and sizes to accomplish that, but how is it possible that in the 28th year, I could love her as much as I do today? The same woman I once hated became the woman I love and enjoy today because of these insights I'm going to be sharing with you. Now, we've been together over 37 years. She hasn't changed one bit, yet I am the happiest man you know. And as you might suspect, our 27 years had plenty of midlife crisis in it. In addition to my 27 years of searching for the answer to eliminate this massive pain I lived under, my course on surviving your wife's midlife crisis comes out of hundreds of hours I have spent working with men whose wives have done exactly that. They've fallen into a midlife crisis. Now, I know this problem inside and out. I know what it's like to lose who you are and not know what's happening to you or why it's happening, because your wife has transformed without any warning, it seems. Now, I know what it's like to be the spouse who's on the receiving end of this chaotic world, a world you never expected or predicted that you would ever have to face, but now you are. The purpose of this course is to jump into the subject by learning what you must do and not do. I want to equip you emotionally to handle what you're facing. To start equipping you, I've supplied you with the teleclass you heard originally, and I would suggest that you start here and listen to it again to give yourself the background on why this happened and why it was created. That background is important because it grounds you for the work I'm going to be having you do here. Now, when I say work, most men picture doing things such as buying flowers, cleaning the house, washing her car, sending her a nice card. You know, that would have worked in the old days. But what you need to do now is emotional work. It's internal work. It's not outside work. It's inside. It's internal management of your emotions. That's what I'm talking about. Your feelings. That's what really does the job of securing her, because your feelings give out a vibration. Now, I'm sure you've already noticed that your wife reacts badly when you attempt to do something good or say something good. You know, to anyone outside of you, a wife reacting that way to her husband sounds insane. But you understand it very well. Now, I want you to begin to understand that something's possessing her, and your job is to weaken that thing so that she can eventually get back to being herself. In my teleclass, you heard me explain that you are not in a normal marriage anymore. Because you're not in a normal marriage anymore, you have to change the way you think about your wife. This is a basic of surviving the chaos, of surviving the crisis. You're not going to survive this crisis if you don't remember that you are in a brand new relationship, a relationship with a person who moves between being two different people. At certain times, she is the woman you married. And suddenly, without warning, she becomes a woman you don't know at all. Now, I think you'd agree with me when I say that you're not in a normal marriage. In fact, you're not married to one woman anymore. You are now in an intimate relationship with two. The recording that you're listening to right now is going to teach you the nuts and bolts of dealing with being married to, in effect, two different women. I've also included a report titled Husbands, You've Been Warned. You could lose your wife to a midlife crisis. This was written as a warning for husbands who don't know it's coming. But it's also written as specific instructions for a man who realizes that crisis is already here. You're going to see in that report that there are several specifics that are going to help you do what's necessary to deal with this new woman. Now, you should have also received a survival kit page, a quick reminder that you should carry with you, 5 do's and don'ts. Being with a woman who's in a midlife crisis, I'm going to be showing you how to deal with both of those. And the one who is the wife you know, and the one who is this strange character you don't know, that's what you've got to learn. How do you go between them? How do you deal with them? I've also included what I call When Will She Wake Up? This document is showing you the variables that decide how long it takes to wean your wife away from this other character that's possessing her. Now, you're going to need to keep your emotions together and control those emotions in the most difficult moments. But before we get into the how-to of the course, I want you to get focused on this question, because your answer to it really determines your future of your ability to save her. The question is, do you want this woman? It's a simple but a very big question. The reason it's such a big question is that this is a world where people run away from pain. Your friends, your relatives most likely, the people you work with, don't like conflict. And if they know you and like you, they want you to have no conflict. They don't want you to suffer either. So their advice, like thousands of marriage counselors and therapists who today are just trying to help people leave pain and run away and find happiness simply by walking away. My advice, my encouragement goes against the grain of virtually everyone. I have a great deal of proof that when you stay and you work through the difficult stuff, you become a far better man, a far better dad, proud of who you are, and that you've created something of value in yourself that's far more than men who run away looking for somebody to make them happy. I don't think you would have purchased this course or even listened to my original teleclass if you were one of those guys. I believe you're listening because you want to be a great man, a man your children can admire. Well, this is my signal intention for this course. You're going to have to listen to it more than once because you're going to hear things on the second round that you didn't hear originally. This course is divided up into three parts. Part one, how to understand the woman you love and the monster you don't. Part two, how to deal with the woman you love and the monster you don't. And part three, how to eliminate your negative feelings in seconds. Now, you might think these titles are a bit odd, but they really aren't. The woman you love is still in that body. The problem is the monster you don't love, this super selfish behavior, this totally separate entity from your wife. I call it the monster because if you originally met your wife when she was like that character you're seeing now, you would never have married her in the first place. She's clearly not that monster. Now, I am here beginning my theme of separation. You must begin to separate the girl you love from the monster you don't. She is not the monster, and the monster is not her. Now, don't mix them up or pretend that they're the same person. They are clearly not. I'm sure when you look into her eyes, when that monster's possessing her, you see clearly that is not the girl you married. I know you don't have to be hit over the head with this because you've lived it. So let's move on to part one, how to understand the woman you love and the monster you don't. Now, I want to start on the subject of understanding by focusing on the girl you married. You know the one that was at the wedding? That's the girl you originally signed up for, but most likely you didn't really understand. In the original teleclass, you heard me make a strong case that the programs that are installed in your first 10 years are how you treat the person you marry. An easy way to understand this is that you treat your wife exactly the way your father treated your mother. Now, when I say that, you're going to find it a bit disturbing at first, but I want you to look at your childhood and visualize how your father treated your mom, the woman he married. Remember moments like vacations and birthdays and Christmas? You know, you had siblings and friends and cousins and all that running around. Probably you didn't think much about how your dad treated your mother, unless they were violent fighters. But take a minute now and remember your dad's treatment of your mom. And what I'm having you do here is important, because I first want you to understand how you treated your wife in the years after the wedding. I want you to see how you ended up treating her the way your dad treated your mother when you were a kid, those first 10 years. Now, I'm going to remind you of a point I made in the teleclass. It's called the kid standard. I'm sure you remember that. It was two things. First, you wanted your mom and dad to enjoy each other. That's the first part of the kid standard. The second is you wanted your mom and dad to make you feel important and valuable. Now, those are two very different relationships. Now, I'm asking you to focus on the first one. I'm going to start by asking the question, did your mom and dad enjoy each other? Well, what I mean by that is, did they laugh a lot together? Did they hug, touch, joke in a good-natured way, share stories with mutual respect? Did they have a sense of humor together? Did your father take your mother's side in issues with the children? Did your mother take your father's side in issues with the children? Did they defend each other to outsiders? I've just given you a picture of what they should have done. As you remember your childhood, observing them, the farther away your mom and dad were from my descriptions, the worse it will be for you and your marriage. So the more they fought, argued, created tension, the worse it's going to be for your own marriage. It's all because of their relationship-created brain instructions in your own brain. Instructions you cannot see. They're completely invisible to you. Problem with this is that in your intimate relationship, you can easily be knocked out and taken over by the way your father treated your mother. The most important thing about this is that you don't have a clue you're doing it. You'll see that one of the variables I have on the When Will She Wake Up document is how your father treated your mother. There's a scale there that goes from very positive down to very negative. Now, right now, based on your memory of their relationship, rate that scale and define how positive or negative their relationship was. The more negative it was, the more negative came out of you onto your wife. There's also a scale for how her mother treated her father. Rate on that scale as well as you can, as well as you can remember, because the more negative her mother was to her father, the more negative your wife was to you. Now, day after day, I'm dealing with people who come from painful childhoods. In other words, chaos kids. Children that were raised in chaos are now adults who are suffering under the effects of that troubled parenting. I have consistently seen these patterns, and that's what I'm explaining to you now. I want you to start by understanding that the more negative your father was to your mother, and the more negative your wife's mother was to her father, the more dark and negative energy you have to deal with in your own marriage. There's no need to get into the thousands of ways you can screw up a kid by being a negative parent. Who cares what the variety is? What matters is that this negative energy creates an entity inside the child, inside their brain, that has a mind of its own. It's not you, and you're not it, as I'm going to show you. An easy way to think about this is that your dad was a great guy in certain ways, but he had these flaws that caused problems in you. For example, my dad had great qualities. Lo and behold, I have those qualities too. But my dad possessed a dark quality that he got from his father, and once it was in his brain, it took on a life of its own. That means that my father, in effect, had to battle between himself, his really good qualities, and his dark nature that he got from his father. It's the same for me. It's the same for you. In real troubled families, that dark nature can be very destructive. To visualize this, just think of criminals that police and courts have to deal with. Those people were created in the first 10 years, but most of us are not criminals. Most of us get this evil childhood energy from our parents who never dealt with theirs. This evil energy moves into the next generation to create as much trouble as it can in each person that it occupies. I'm once again referring to this idea of separation. You must get this if you're going to be good at what I'm teaching. Separate, separate, separate. I want you to separate yourself from your father's dark side. I want you to separate your wife from her mother's dark side. The ability to separate is the key to learning how to understand the woman you love and the monster you don't. That's because the woman you love is the best of her mother, and the monster you don't is the worst of her. That's why I call her, your wife, the woman you love. It clearly separates her as a valuable human being with good qualities that you can love and enjoy. But this world doesn't see people that way. The world sees people as some gray swirling ball that is one person, all mixed up with good and bad and neutral qualities. They even have a slogan they use. They say things like, oh, that's just part of me. Really, my research proves that this dark entity is not at all a part of you. In fact, it's so much not a part of you that people in these troubled marriages long to stop this thing from ruining their life. You know, I quote this line that people give me when they talk about this thing taking them over. They say it this way: I know what I'm doing is wrong. I really wish I could stop, but I don't have the first idea how. Well, that doesn't sound anything to me like one person. That sounds exactly like a good person trying to get rid of something bad. That's why I want you to key in on this idea of separating the good person from the bad entity within. I'm also making it clear that your wife did not bring this bad thing here. She was dropped into a home that she did not choose, and this thing was injected into her brain over those first 10 years. None of it was her choice. The problem happens if you were raised in a much better home, but she was raised in a much more negative home. And that means that this monster within is more destructive than your monster within. So we all have this monster, this dark side. The question is, how strong is it? Well, the midlife crisis is the result of a lot of childhood pain that is never dealt with. Because I'm dealing with part one, understanding the woman you married and the monster you don't, I want you to understand that these dark entities travel through families as if traveling through a river. And some families have very positive energy in them. And so all the children are positive, and the children's children. They're very happy. And they like each other. They rarely fight. They accept each other's differences. But the families that are jam-packed with this negative energy, these families have all kinds of difficulties and issues. It's these families who have people who must face drug addictions, arrests, jail time, troubles with money, and so much more. You know, I say all of this because you can look around you and you know this is true. In fact, if you grew up in one of these troubled families, there's a magnet in your brain that actually attracts trouble and troubled situations and people to you without any effort on your part. So now with all that said, you can begin to realize that your wife's childhood created the size and nature of the monster within her. But your wife is still the girl you married, the good qualities you love. She is still that person. But now you cannot control the monster she received from those first 10 years. And now that I've laid out this subject of understanding the woman you love, by the way, the monster within is not the woman you love, again, let me talk more about the woman herself. I want you to understand her by realizing that there are four kinds of women in the world. I'm referring to my work of developing a product called the Flag Page. You can learn more about this if you're interested at the site flagpage.com, FLAGPAGE.com. Let's think of these four women as coming from four countries: control, fun, perfect, and peace. Now, I'm going to talk about them in order so that you can locate your wife in one of these countries because it will help you understand her in a way that you haven't before. Now, if your wife is from control country, she is a strong-willed woman who can easily take charge and get people to follow her. She's a woman of action and decisions. She has very little patience with people who can't decide things. Let's hold on to control country for a moment and then consider fun country. If your wife is from fun country, she's a very social woman who needs to connect and relate with other people. She's on the phone a lot because she doesn't like to be alone. She laughs easily, loves conversation, wants to be given approval for the way she acts. So we've looked at control country and fun country, and we've seen that they're clearly different. Now let's look at these last two countries, peace and perfect. If your wife is from peace country, she's very calm, relaxed, a woman who does not have a lot of friends, but she has a few close friends. She would much rather listen than talk. Now, the main thing about a wife from peace country is that she can't stand conflict. If she perceives that there's a conflict happening, she will shut down and close up. You might even find her lying to you to avoid conflict. Because of this need for peace, she wants to be respected for who she is, not necessarily for what she does. So finally, let's see what your wife would be like if she was from the most sensitive of the four countries. And that is perfect country. In perfect country, your wife would talk a lot to say a little, and that's because she feels things very deeply, but has a hard time expressing herself, so she keeps on talking, trying to get her emotional point across. And since she is very sensitive, she can be easily hurt, even the wrong look, the wrong tone. In perfect country, she wants things to be right, and if they're not, she can get very upset quickly. Her great strength, though, is her ability to care about virtually everyone and everything. So let's sum up the four countries. I've given you a sheet to be able to do that. If she's from control country, she's a strong-willed, take-charge girl. If she's from fun country, she's really a happy, social girl. If she's from peace country, she's very quiet, stay-away-from-conflict type girl. And if she's from perfect country, she's very sensitive and a get-it-right type girl. Now that I've given you these four countries, I want you to pick which country she's from and write it down. And you're going to see that I've repeated these words in print on the page about the four descriptions: fun, control, perfect, and peace. You can read those descriptions on there. So why is this so important? Well, it's important because you have to understand she needed this. She needed you to understand it, but you may not have given it to her. Here's what I mean by that. You're from a country also. Let's say you're from control country, but you married a girl, let's say, from peace country. Of these four qualities, they're the same for you as they are for her, depending on what country you're from. Typically, people don't marry a person in the same country. So if you're this strong-willed, take-charge guy from control country, and your wife is a quiet woman who doesn't like conflict from peace country, you're beginning to see it could be a destructive problem if you don't realize how to treat the woman from peace country. See, these needs that I described are what you want her to have more of, because you want her to be herself. So in understanding the girl you love, you really want to understand her country. If you want to know this more in depth, you can get the book that explains these countries in detail. You can get the book that explains these in detail titled Discovering Your Heart with the Flag Page. You can find this book just by Googling the words Discovering Your Heart with the Flag Page. Once again, you find your country, you find hers, you begin to realize that you might have gone wrong after the wedding. Now is the time to start thinking about her country, her biggest need. If she's from control country, you need to appreciate what she does because she's action-driven. If she's from fun country, you must give her approval for the way she acts. If she's from peace country, you have to respect who she is. And if she's from perfect country, you need to give her sensitivity to her feelings. You know, once you've focused on that big need of hers, then you want to understand something else about her. And that something is the things she loves. It sounds simple, but a lot of husbands totally miss this. In order to remember the things she loves, you're going to have to remember your history with her. Think back on stories when she was enjoying herself the most. And right now, I want you to write this on that second page that has the four countries on it. Write down five things she loves the most. Let me give you an example so you can understand what I'm asking for. You might remember that she's the happiest when she's, let's say, around plants and flowers. She knows all about them. She knows how to work with them, how to grow them. You know, once you realize that, you're going to take all these things you remember about this thing of this love of hers. And you could write something like, she enjoys buying plants, growing them, helping other people grow them, giving them as gifts, decorating with them. I've even seen her glowing when she would walk into a greenhouse and she could spend hours there. So there's an example of what you could write. That's what it would sound like. You can include anything you remember that made her look or act happy. You do this because that is the girl. That's the girl you married. This description helps you separate her from the thing that's taken her over. Very important to separate her from it. This is a very valuable exercise. It's going to take some memory on your part for you to create this list of five things she loves. But I want you to do this because you've probably never done it. But once you have, you're going to have a word picture. That's the key to her heart. The list of five descriptions will help you realize these. You see, she's still this woman. In addition to knowing her country, write the five descriptions of what she loves and then her country there. And you're going to see that this makes her happy. This is what she's always wanted from you, but you really didn't understand that that's what she needed. Now let's look at the third element of understanding the woman you married. And here, I'm giving you a little mini course on understanding women. Like virtually all men, you've never taken a course on understanding women, of course. But let me give you the basics of why women are nothing like men. To understand the girl you married, you're going to need to remember that a woman has two major needs in her intimate relationship. Number one, she needs financial security. Number two, she needs emotional security. Now, before you jump to conclusions about what you think about these two needs and what they mean, let me show you how different men are by realizing men have two needs also, nothing like women. Number one, a man needs to be respected. Number two, a man needs sexual intimacy. Now, I want you to notice that the two needs of women have the word security in both of them. Emotional security, financial security. And now, notice that the needs of men, there is no word for security for a man. You're not interested in security. Men want to accomplish things so they can be respected by the woman in their life. And of course, sexual intimacy is like breathing to a man. So if you thought that women needed something like you did, you'd be totally off target. Your wife needed emotional security and financial security, and she couldn't even tell you that directly. But let's look at what those two needs are made of. Let's look at emotional security first. For a woman, a man makes her feel emotionally secure when he does things that make her feel valuable and important. And by the way, these are not big things. These are small things. For instance, when you look at a woman when she's talking, she feels very valuable to you. When you look at her when she's talking eye to eye, it generates brain chemicals that actually cause her to draw closer to you. This contact with eyes is a big deal to women. Look in your history with your wife. Ask yourself the question, how much eye contact did I maintain with her when we were talking? Most men blow it very badly here for this need of emotional security. Her emotional security also comes from conversation with you. I'd say it even stronger. Your need for sexual intimacy is exactly the same as her need for conversation. It's that big. As you know, men aren't really big on conversation, especially when the subject is not what they're interested in. But if you really want to understand the woman, you must understand her need for conversation. By the way, that conversation is mostly you listening to her. Now, what I mean by that is that she wants your opinion only when she really wants it. Most men try to give solutions when women just want their man to listen to them vent. When a man tries to give solutions when she's not done venting, it breaks all the plumbing. If you have done this multiple times over multiple years, it has a lot to do with why she's fallen apart. It creates the wrong environment for her. A simple way to think about this is that the more you would have given her the need of her country, the support for what she loves, her need for emotional security, her need for financial security, the more you hold back that childhood monster from taking her over. But like most men, you had no idea that marriage had a secret formula. A secret formula that very few men understand. So let me give you the secret formula as a formula. Here it is. Please her country, plus support her loves, multiplied by giving her emotional security, plus supplying financial security, equals no midlife crisis. You heard that right. No midlife crisis. If a man could have known this formula and actually delivered it, he'd be protecting her from the chaos of her childhood ever arriving. Nice thought, but of course it's too late for that. Now it's time for you to be in emergency management mode, and I at least wanted you to know that there was a formula for making a woman happy. You might want to write that down somewhere. Let me expand on emotional security, because a lot of men do not understand what it is. To help you understand how important this is to a woman, I'm going to give you a few choices from a very long list that was made by many wives that I interviewed over the years. Now, these are exact descriptions of what these girls wanted from their husbands in order to make them feel emotionally secure. I'm reading these as a sample so you can get a feel for what you need to do when your own wife is in control of herself rather than her dark side being in control of her. Remember, once again, you're dealing with two different women, but right now, we're dealing with that wonderful girl that you married. This is a short list of how women express this need for their husbands to make them feel emotionally secure. Get a load of this. Be interested in all I say because it gives me reason to go on. Remember, everyone is from a different woman. Initiate conversations with me where you show genuine interest in all the details of our lives. When you're home, think about us, don't think about work. Whenever I speak, show how what I'm saying is important to you. To validate me, listen, ask questions, and show you're interested in my feelings no matter how small. Show me your self-confidence so I can lean on your emotional strength. When you sense I'm emotionally hurting, stay, listen, and care about me until you know I feel better. Listen to me, vent my troubles before you go offering solutions. Before you judge, look for ways to understand what I'm going through by asking me questions. Plan dates and gifts to show that I'm still on your mind when we're not together. Look for all the little opportunities to surprise me by noticing what makes me happy and sharing in it. Each day, do small things that make me feel like the most important woman in your life. Show me that you are doing things that I need you to do, and don't put them off. Show me that I can trust you completely and I'm the only woman in the world who matters to you. Touch me, hug me, kiss me throughout the day because this proves you love me. Express your feelings about why you find me attractive. Now don't make a mistake about this, guys. Don't think that this is just a to-do list. It's not. All these sentences make you realize, just by paying attention and not just thinking about yourself, that she's going to feel very secure, emotionally secure. Go back to the chaos kid phenomena. It will be very difficult for you if your father turned your mother into something like a hot water heater. If he treated her that way, if your father did treat her like a hot water heater, then you're going to end up doing the same thing, and you're not even going to know you're doing it. I'll be talking more about that in part 3, how to feel good in spite of circumstances. So now that you have a sense of what your wife wants to feel emotionally secure, let me think about what she wants to feel financially secure. And again, I'm going to be drawing from the list of real women, the things that they told me that they wanted to feel financially secure. Some of these expressions might surprise you, And some of them will make you realize that your wife wanted, well, these very same things. So listen to this. Allow me the money and time for my guilt-free trips. Provide enough money so I can create a beautiful environment for our family and others. Encourage me to get rid of the guilt I have over spending personal money. Trust me with management of my own budgeted money each month. Cheerfully give me money so I can find ways to make you happy. Encourage me to earn my own money in my own way. Give me time to explore my talents and earn my own income. Trust me with an amount of money every month so I can make our family's life better. Help me plan, design, and have built our own private retreat room. Encourage me to spend money on myself because you know it's hard for me. Trust and show respect for my spending choices. Commit to raising our donations for the good of others. Allow me to be crazy generous. Support my investment in keeping our family healthy. See our mutual cost of living as our expenses rather than mine and yours. Think of ways to show me my earning power has value as yours does. Show me how much you value my financial contribution to our home. So there you have it. As you listen to this list, you can get this idea that women like to buy things. What men miss is the reason they want to buy them. They don't want the money. They want what the money buys. And when the women spend money, they get an emotional charge out of it. It makes them feel secure. I know, hard for a man to understand, but this is the way that women are wired. I've just given you a quick course on how to keep the woman you love. It would have been simple if I had given you this shortly before your wedding, but you probably wouldn't have appreciated it and still ended up treating your wife the way your father treated your mother in the first 10 years. So now that brings us to your wife's midlife crisis condition that released this monster, as I call it. We need to understand that monster. So let's take the quick course on what it is and how it works. I want you to think of this other entity that possesses your wife as her mother's dark side. It is, in fact, a mix of mostly her mother and her father's dark nature. That's the monster within. Remember, I explained it earlier that the more severe and negative it is, the more you will pay for it in your own marriage. So let's start by giving you the five rules of a chaos kid, because a chaos kid is her dark nature at work. When the dark nature has control of her body, the girl you love is not there anymore. So let's look at what this dark nature is like by explaining the five rules of a chaos kid. Rule number one, it says what it doesn't mean, and what it means, it doesn't say. Now, as I'm going to be showing you in our next part, this thing works to keep you confused and off balance. It does this by telling you one thing, but doing something else. Rule number two, its needs are more important than your needs. This rule is very sinister because to this thing, you don't exist as a human being. You have no value. Your wife's monster within is constantly going to be devaluing you until you're not even human, if that were possible. Rule number three, it sells itself as something it's not. This is important to understand about this monster within. It's always making itself out to be big, better than, more valuable than you. It reeks with contempt as it attempts to demean you while at the same time making itself out to be moral and above you. Rule number four, anything you do or say that is good, it will treat as a threat. Now you should expect this as a normal routine because this monster within her hates you, especially hates everything you do and say that is unselfish. So it constantly works to try and convince you that your efforts to be good are worthless. And towards that end, it makes you the enemy no matter what good you do. Rule number five, it wants what it cannot have, and what it has, it does not want. When this monster possesses your wife, she will appear to be very unhappy and discontent with virtually everything and anything. When it possesses her, she's going to pursue all kinds of seemingly unattainable things because it wants what it cannot have. And what it has, her husband, it does not want. Okay, those are the inner monster basics. Now, next thing you need to remember is that this thing is forced to live in cycles. This is a big feature of the monster within. When it's in a very high cycle, it's very strong, and it seems like it's going to control her forever. But when it's forced to go into a down cycle, your wife will come out temporarily, and you're going to feel like the storm is over. It is not. That's because you are not expecting it. The low cycle is going to be over and the high cycle start again, and away goes your wife and up comes the monster to fulfill the five rules of a chaos kid. Now, I'm not saying this to discourage you, but I want you to realize that until you get your own emotions under control, this cycle is going to keep on surprising you if you don't expect it and know it's coming. The reason your marriage collapsed is because you did not just marry the girl. You married the girl and this thing within her. We also don't know about that thing in you. You know, if your father had his dark side, then your dark side took over for you from time to time. That means there was not two people in the marriage. There were four. Two people, two monsters that could not be seen or known, so it was a crowded marriage, to say the least. So now we know how to understand the woman you love and the monster you don't. We're going to move on to part two. Part two is how to handle the woman you love and the monster you don't. Now, everything I gave you in part one helps you understand the woman you love, and you'll not do that until the girl comes out. But I want to warn you on this. Don't treat the monster like you're supposed to treat the girl. If the monster is out, then you cannot treat the monster the way you treat the woman. Remember those cycles, high and low. When the monster's in the high cycle, you must deal with the monster in the way you're going to learn in part three. And I say that because you cannot have a conversation with her monster within. You will lose, and it will win, if you try to talk to it like you can beat it. In part three, I'm going to show you why you cannot take that road. You can't get there from here, with here being you using willpower and logic to debate your wife's monster. There's no winning that. So when your wife comes out on those occasions, you want to read your notes from this part one that we just did, so you can start treating her the way she's always wanted to be treated. But you also must remember why you're treating her that way. The monster is now in its low cycle, and it is listening, and it's remembering, and it's going to try to use what you say against you later. But at the same time, the girl is listening, and she is hearing you express the need she's wanted all these years. That puts her in a tough spot, because the monster is telling her that you're lying and you're a piece of garbage who can't be trusted, and at the same time, the girl within wants to believe you. This brings us back to the separation theme. You must start to see the girl as a separate being who has nothing to do with the monster within. That negative entity is like a terrorist that captured your wife and is holding her for ransom. It's a good way to visualize the separation between her and it. So you handle the girl you love by doing the thing she has always loved, only when she is out and in control. And I'm making a big deal about the difference between your wife and this thing because it bears a lot of repeating. It needs to be repeated because the whole world does not agree with what I'm saying. Everyone around you believes that a human being is all just one person. They do not believe a human being is split into two separate entities, one human and one not, one good, one evil. They don't believe that. Yeah, of course, there's all those references to this in literature, you know, what they call the dual nature of man and all that. That's theory to people. In real life, they treat every single person as a single person. In other words, if your monster came out at work in front of your boss would not later say to you, Bill, you know, your monster came out yesterday, and I knew you lost control of it, so next time, why don't you just leave your monster at home? They're never gonna do that. Your boss would blame you for your outburst or your crude comments. He would blame you. He would not separate you from the dark entity within that actually put you up to such thoughtless action. But you are going to separate your wonderful wife from the monster within. And I'm calling this part two, How to Handle the Woman You Love and the Monster You Don't. Because part two is really me making this point over and over again that you must always separate your good wife from this thing that is causing her midlife crisis. Part two is really an introduction to part three, which is how to eliminate your negative feelings and seconds. Eliminating your negative feelings and seconds is how you handle the woman you love and the monster you don't. Without that ability, there's going to be very little hope for you or her. You don't realize it now, but your dark nature gives off an evil vibration, as does hers. When those two entities are connected with this dark energy between you, it creates something called tension. A tense atmosphere does not allow human beings to communicate. These two entities, one within you, one within her, they are the problem. In order to solve this problem, you need to kill off one of those monsters. And obviously, she's not going to be doing that. She has no ability to do that. And that leaves only you, her husband, the man who is going to save her from the monster. The question is, how do you do it? Now, what I'm going to do now is very important. If I don't show you a way to shut down this monster within you, it will connect with hers and both of you will lose. But if you can kill off the monster within, the tension circuit will be broken and then it will weaken hers. And that brings us to the need for you to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in seconds. But you cannot learn that until I explain to you the source of all human behavior.